Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
We're waiting for an official introduction, and
Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. We are broadcasting from the beautiful Indulge Resort in downtown Palm Springs. Actually, it's a little south, but hey, we have a full house, as you've heard during the opening there. We're going to have some fun today, boys and girls. Thanks for tuning in. Let's start by giving a big shout-out to the Indulge In Here Resort in Palm Springs. Thank you to John and Sandy, the owners. Of course, Raymond's been an excellent host as manager of the hotel here. We are enjoying our stay immensely. We are 6 out of 8 shows. I only have 2 shows
left. Oh, my
God.
Whoa.
Yes.
Back to Ohio, Matt. Woo,
oh, no.
Woo. It's Ohio.
6 is the best.
But, hey, I am very excited to be here today. It's been a great time. I want to give a big shout to a lot of the sponsors that made this possible. The Escape Room Palm Springs has been such a good host. We've had a couple of games out there. True FM Media back in Ohio is always taking care of us and showing us out there. We'll be our new home to Left of Straight Radio when I come back home in September. Of course, Tony Guadagnino does all of our shout-outs on social media out of beautiful New York City. Thank you to Tony Guad. CBT Candle, Yoga Works. We have Sebastian Reich right here in Palm Desert. Those amazing facials. We are bringing mom to one next week. That's going to be fun. Of course, T-shirt Mania for all the T-shirts during the show. And we have had some of the most amazing restaurants while we're out here catering each of our lovely shows here. 849's been out, Just Tapas, Salads in a Jar, Ruby's Diner, Lulu's, Thai Smile, and today we have Sherman Deli, guys. You're going to see all the pictures on Instagram a little later on. Fantastic story. Been around forever. Sherman Harris moved to Palm Springs in 1953, and within 25 years, I built an empire of 5 restaurants and delis in the area, including doing the catering at a restaurant at the top of the Palm Springs aerial tramway. Celebrities that have frequented his restaurants have included Frank Sinatra, Red Skelton, Zsa Zsa Gabor,
Rosalind Russell,
Bob Hope, Rita Hayworth, and who else?
Rosalind Russell.
Rosalind
Big time.
Russell.
Yep.
Amazing stuff. The food is huge. You're just waiting to see the carrot cake and the eclair. We're going to have on social media this a little bit. He received a star on the Palm Springs Walk of Fame on his 75th birthday and unfortunately passed away from us in 2008 and 84 from Alzheimer's, but the family is carrying on his rich tradition of giving back to the community for which he earned that star for. And right now his son, Sam, is taking care of the Palm Springs Deli, and his daughter, Janet, is taking care of the Palm Desert Deli. So, thank you for this wonderful food today. We have so much great stuff. A couple more restaurants coming in next week. I am very excited about that. Of course, if you missed yesterday's show, and why would you, damn it, get on there to Blog Talk Radio, to iTunes, to Spreaker, so many places you can find us. We had the amazing Emerson Collins and Blake MacGyver and Craig Ramsey and Brandon Liberati and Rhonda Hart, president of Palm Springs Pride. Looking forward to that. Of course, Alexander is one of the hosts of Palm Springs Pride.
The host, hello.
The host. This is going to happen all day long, boys and girls.
Minor details.
You'll be hosting my show.
No.
So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. On today's show, of course, we do have Alexander Rodriguez, Fernando Rivera, Michael Pereira. And in place of Nolan Robert, we had a pinch hit from the fantastic Nicholas Stowe, local here of Promo Homo TV.
I love the title, by the way, Promo Homo. Thank you. I'm all about it.
It's just amazing. You've been doing such great work. We're going to talk about it in a bit. I love your Outfest gig. So many great videos coming out of that. We'll talk about all of that in just a little bit. But we're going to have a fun show today, guys. Welcome to Palm Springs, those that don't live here. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
It's so hot, and I'm just not talking about my outfit.
Okay.
Well, you're
the one. Silence after I said that, by the way.
You're the one who's wearing a jacket and a tie in 110-degree weather.
Branding, sweetie, branding.
Yes. I told Alexander just we're not going to film it because I was not sure we were going to film it or not. So we're not filming it. Come relax. We're all kind of comfortable in a furry comb and his blue, not a white blazer, but a black blazer.
Like my phone. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
And my dating life.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, really? What? You're not too far behind me, Cody.
Next week, guys, we have final two shows here. We're going to be bringing Ronnie Kroll, Eddie Lobo, Caden Asher, Billy Cliff, David Milburn, Jasper Cole, Michael Vaccaro, and David Cruz. Tomorrow, boys and girls, I'm leaving for Vegas. 5 days, four nights in Vegas. We're meeting up with our good buddy of the show, Randy Slavacek.
Oh, I love Randy.
He's going to hit himself with a lot of fun and excitement out there. Of course, Randy's husband, Michael, is the manager of Olivia Newton-John and produces Chippendales. So I'm taking my 80-year-old mother to Chippendales.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be kind of fun. Perez Hilton is the guest MC this month. I talked to him last week right before I came here. He's going to be there. His mom and my mom like to gamble. We may never see them again. I may need to hitchhike back to Ohio. I'm not sure.
Your mom has good luck at gambling, though.
She does have some good luck at gambling. Mom had a couple of nice jackpots.
Yep.
I can't complain about her luck. That is for sure. And, guys, we just found out next year we're being invited back to Indulge for the month of June.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, it's much cooler then.
Thanks.
Wedding.
But I got to tell you, I've been living in that pool from about 10 o'clock till midnight, 1 a.m., and it's an exciting
time. I love that pool at 1 a.m. It's a hole in one.
It's clothing optional, but it's not that type of clothing optional. It can be, but it's not.
It's a different type of clothing optional. It's either there or it's not. Like half a speedo. It's a speedo.
All right, well, let's jump right into it, guys. Our guests today are a fantastic, eclectic group of people. We're going to be talking to them individually about some of the projects they have, and then we'll do some little group chat here on things that are happening in the news. Fernando Rivera, you've seen in some of your favorite television shows, movies, and commercials. He's a first-time author with his new book out, The After Living, which I absolutely love. It combines some of his favorite things, vampires, his faith, and his culture. It's a first in a series of books he's creating called His Blood and Silver series. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for driving down.
Well, thank you for having me. It's fun. It's fun so far.
It's going to be fun. Alexander Rodriguez, of course, a great friend of the show since we started out 3 years ago. He has been presenting and entertaining since he was a mere child.
Yesterday, sweetie.
Five short days ago. Of course, his amazing voice and acting abilities, he's been seen on stages across America. Not all in acting gigs. But
I think it's like a cross-dresser. I was like, what? Who blabbed?
His successful radio show, On the Rocks, is every Tuesday on the glamorous Sunset Gower Studios on UVN Radio Network. And here's a brand new series, guys. It's the very first LGBT programming on a major Latin network. Glitter Bomb premieres next month.
Woo! Keep calling Glitter Bomb.
You're going to see him on TV. Can the ego get any bigger? We're not sure. Tune in.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It is probably fairly dark in the room, and Alexander has not left his shade since I saw him at breakfast this morning.
Honey, I have Louis Vuittons under my eyes. No way I'm bringing those babies up.
He always brings the shade.
Accompanying Michael today, he brought his good friend Michael Ferrer, who's been on the show in the past. Great outspoken advocate for our LGBT community. He's a nonprofit guru working with such causes as LifeWork, Foundation for a National AIDS Memorial. Of course, he's been with Up With People, Hofstra University. We have so many great friends at Hofstra.
Yeah.
So thanks for being on the show, Michael.
Really nice to be here. Good to see you in Palm Springs.
Welcome, welcome. And then finally, we have Mr. Nicholas Snow. Like I said, the creator, founder of Promo Homo TV, based right out of here in Palm Springs, but getting all over the place. I love his stuff out in Outfest. He's a multimedia entertainment activist, opening of the gay media since 1984, been open and out in gay media, which is amazing. He has had a 7-year run on the 1990s in an LA-based TV show called Tinseltown's Queer. And he's currently, as we said, the founder of Promoho TV. Nicholas, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and I'm fans of everybody in the room from what I've known about them. And
now, you are streaming live on your channel. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Okay, so we're simulcasting right now on my public Facebook page under Nicholas Snow. So if you would go there on your phones to the public page right now, you can share it to any of the pages that you want. And ultimately, this will be embedded into the website, promohomo.tv.
Amazing.
And, I love a good embed.
My, he says he likes a good embed. My Facebook live broadcast in the recent 12-month period had 250,000 views. I reached people in 50 countries. And among my top 5 cities consistently are Palm Springs, LA, New York, and Bangkok. I actually lived in Thailand for 5.5 years,
sweet,
working as a foreign correspondent, so I have a big following there that follows me still.
You got the premier scoop with a Gloria Estefan the other day, too, which I thought was amazing. That was some good timing. You're very smart in your location pick.
Well, that was interesting. So what he's referencing, guys, is that a long time ago, I wrote a column called Notes from Hollywood that was a website and a multimedia brand, and I decided to resurrect it as a program on Promohomo TV, and I premiered it at the opening night of On Your Feet at the Pantages.
Great show.
And there, I knew I was going to that late, so I actually didn't have a place on the red carpet as media. So I made a decision that I would just broadcast the excitement around the red carpet and then go into the theater. Well, as I'm going into the theater, I stayed live because I wanted people to just see the elegant excitement of the Pantages Theater lobby. And I heard this bustle, and I turn around, and this giant guy is escorting Gloria Estefan through, and I was already live. So I just pointed the camera at her, and I walked with her, and I asked her a couple of questions. And I couldn't have planned it. So it was
a scoop. It was
awesome.
Very
awesome.
Enjoyable. Let's ask a couple of questions in your video view. Fernando, I loved your book.
Thank you.
I told you off screen earlier, Fernando's done so many great guest appearances and commercials. And things. He has a commercial going for McDonald's right now, which is like, I don't know, it's shown 8,000 times a day in Ohio TV. I think we love our college people in Ohio.
Oh, it's the scholarship one.
We're actually super blessed because we just got notified that we're extended for another year.
Oh, my God.
Extended until
can I get a loan?
Year.
I love you in that commercial.
Thanks. It was cool because we're actually good friends. Kenny, who is the kid in the commercial, I play opposite. And us, Joe Coffee, we actually all got coffee the other day just to kind of, you know, congratulate each other and just celebrate. And, it's really fun because it's been the longest running one that I've had since being out here. I've had 4 McDonald's Nationals, and this one has been extended. So that's really awesome. And they're a great
It's hitting a chord in Ohio, my friend. I see it in Columbus. I see it in Youngstown. I see it in Cleveland. It's like everywhere.
It's funny, it's McDonald's, and please, he doesn't eat McDonald's.
Are you kidding? We're not going to talk about
you're
that.
You're like, oh, let me have salad.
We're not going to talk about that. and it's like I said, it's been huge just because, you know, I've done a lot of, you know, appearances on some TV shows and some other commercials, but this one commercial has garnered me the most exposure the entire time that I've been out in Los Angeles, so it's pretty spectacular how something can come
that's
from something
great.
That you just...
It's crazy how things happen, things you don't expect.
Yeah, you do not expect it at all.
You want that commercial to frankly spin off into its own series.
I mean, we could have, like, you know, a rom-com situation where, you know...
With
we,
you and the boy?
With Kenny? Oh, yeah, he's great. He's hilarious.
Talking about scholarship.
There's just so many characters that could intersect in an environment like that, and what's powerful for me about the commercial is that the aspirations and dreams of collective support of those dreams. It's sort of like a microcosm of what you want the world to be wrapped up in a McDonald's commercial.
Well, the agency has a lot to do with it. It's the Alma agency out of Miami. And so my first McDonald's commercial that I did, I was like a high school kid sitting on the back of a pickup tailgate with a dad and grandpa. And the second one I did was not this agency. The three of them have been with the same agency, with the Alma agency. The second one was not. It was like a college-type scenario. And the third one, I became a manager at McDonald's, and I had a name and everything. And then this fourth one, they were like, well, he was a manager in the last one, so let's keep him the manager in this one. And they kept the same name. And so they kind of like created a little, like
there
a little
go.
Story along there. So I was like, okay, like let's, you know, let's
that
do
awesome.
Another one with, you know, the same thing, but, you know.
Fernando, I have to ask, did they tailor that uniform shirt? Because when you walk in, those managers, that shirt is not tailored.
Let me
like
tell
you,
you they picked the baggiest. It was either that or have a jacket on, but they didn't think it'd be right for me to have a jacket
Your
on.
Your baggy is my slim fit.
Well, it's a very crisp, boxy shirt, which, you know, happened to fit very well. So I'm appreciative of that.
I did notice that, I must say.
Yeah, so like, there's no chicken nugget there.
Well, thank you.
All right, and let's talk about being a first-time author. Congratulations to you. You have this great first book, The Afterlife. I loved it. Talk about your inspiration for it and give everyone a little taste of what it's about.
What's it called? The Afterliving. Yeah, well, do you want the... like the professional or like the personal? It was very different.
The 10 second one?
We're having fun, Tom. I want the personal. I want to know.
Well, the personal is, you know, I love vampire fiction, right? I mean, I love Twilight. I love the first Twilight movie. You know, I like reading the book. And I love Vampire Diaries, things like that. But what always got me is that whenever you watch those shows, it's always, you know, some kind of a dilemma. Like, oh, like, it's always a love story. Is should I be a vampire or not? Because my boyfriend is, or my girlfriend is, but I'm not. And in my head, being raised Catholic, I thought, well, if I were going to be a vampire, my thought would be, am I going to go to hell? Because that's what we're taught, you know, good and bad, yada, yada. And so I just thought, well, what if you could have your cake and eat it too? Like, what if they weren't mutually exclusive? And so I kind of thought, well, what if, you know, vampirism wasn't a bad thing? And then just getting into the Bible and the literal translation of, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood and you'll have eternal life. And that's like the definition of a vampire. I was like, oh, Jesus was a vampire. Done. And so that's kind of how... the book came to be in terms of like the inspiration for having that kind of a storyline. Because when you read it, it's not like good and evil. It's more just, oh, this is a, you know, a path. And there are a lot of other paths that other characters and creatures have taken in the book that all have some kind of a, you know, religious background. That's what I wanted to do, kind of just interweave, you know, that faith and fun don't have to be mutually exclusive things. They can be the same thing and pretty terrifying too.
And I love that you can tell you have an actor background in it because the characters are very well thought out, and the dialogue is you get the backstory. You've included a backstory with it. You've included shadowing. You've everything you see in a film, you can almost see it being filmed as you read it, which is one of the best parts about books because you create your own story in your mind, and you lay out the characters so well. It's a lot of fun.
And it was supposed to be a movie, which is probably why it reads like that. Cause my background initially with writing and entertainment was screenwriting. So it's, you know, it kind of, I wanted this to be a movie with, you know, act one, act two, act three, with 40 scenes and no cards, and I just was writing too much, and I thought, well, I guess, you know, scene one is now chapter one, and so that's kind of how, or why it plots out or reads like that, because that was what I wanted to do initially, but I just, clearly I talked too much, so I couldn't fit it into that little small... Stop.
Stop. I'm actually working on the musical version. The first song is Jesus Was a Vampire.
Yeah.
My jokes are probably flatter than,
well,
than your
the
hair.
It's a tough crowd. It's a tough crowd. Have you had any kind of blowback from religious communities for it?
No, I can't. I'm waiting for it. I want to get the blowback, and then I want to stop. And then I want to tweet it, and then I want to create more controversy to have more people actually read the book, because conflict is cash. Let's be honest. Controversy is conflict.
Our good friend Sam Zimmerman in his new play, he's soaking that controversy for everything it's worth. He's doing a Diary of Anne Frank, but
no,
doing
probably,
it
no,
from a
wait,
ice standpoint, kind of, and doing it with Mexicans up in the attic. And,
Latinos, they're not just all
Latinos,
Mexicans.
Sorry,
from Guatemala.
Latinos, there you go. And he's garnered a lot of controversy, and it's getting some great press, CNN and everything else. So. All right, let's move on a little bit. We'll come back to that. Alexander Rodriguez. Since your humble beginning, you are now a humble television star.
Why are you saying that? I have no ego. I was born like this.
No. Talk about this. Let's give everyone a little background about On the Rocks and where you came from, and talk about this great new experience.
Thank you. On the Rocks is my baby. I've been on the air. It's on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify. We literally drink with celebrities. Celebrities from Broadway, movies, TV, every aspect of entertainment, reality show people, And we just sit and we talk about things that you never hear them talk about. I don't ask the same boring questions. We talk about who they really are. And after a few, you know, vodkas, they really get loose-lipped and you get to see
my
stars.
Questions were boring, just so I knew real quick.
I mean...
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. So on the rocks, I have been asked to be part of Glitter Bomb, which is a new national TV talk show, first ever Latin-based LGBT programming. We're going to be in 13 million homes. And so I'm one of... I'm one of two other hosts, which is funny just to share the spotlight. But and we're doing the same kind of thing. You know, it's LGBT because we're hosts, but it's not rah-rah LGBT. It's inclusive, which is what entertainment should be.
Will
it be
Spanish language?
There's some Spanish speaking in it, just briefly, because what we've learned from research is Latin homes in America, they are speaking English. And so the show is totally inclusive. In terms of, we do segments where we talk about life, and we have everybody on, gay, straight, in between.
Can you tease us a little bit of the Spanish language part?
Okay, so I'm a Twinkie. I'm white on the inside and brown on the outside. Like, I cannot speak Spanish. But, you know, but that's also part of being Latin in America, you know? I would love to learn more about my Latin roots, and doing the show has really helped me do that. Understand the Latin culture, understand the Latin audience, understand Latin production.
Well, your three perspectives are so great because you're the most funniest person I know off the cuff, and you've been doing
Thank
this
you.
So long, talking to people, but you have Patrick Gomez, who's been interviewing for People Magazine and Entertainment Weekly forever, so he's used to doing the interview aspect. Enrique Pena is an actor and in soaps, of all things.
In reality TV.
Soaps and reality TV.
Girl, he brings
so
that reality TV drama to
so
the
it's a great interaction of co-hosts. I'm looking forward to the bee costume. I have to admit, I don't know what that's about, but it looks kind of funny.
Well, there's a segment called Crafty Bee, and Crafty Bee isn't a crafty bitch, but the story is I don't know that, so I show up in a bee costume. And the costume has become now part of the show. While the other guys get to wear Kenneth Cole and Calvin Klein, I'm in a bee costume.
But that's like a throwback to the other, like, the
yes.
show. Okay, okay, yeah, I was like that. Okay, yeah, there's a reason why.
But I come out, I'm like, I'm a bee, Buzz. Like, anyway. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, well, a little bit later, we're going to try to play a promo to it, the audio for Glitter Bomb here. Mike Herrera, welcome to the show. You have been involved with some heavy-duty fundraising in the LGBT community, and that's one of my big questions for later on here is how are we doing this in the age of 45, and that's the whole story in and of itself. But talk about, I mean, LifeWorks, we were talking at breakfast this morning, started from such a nothing thing and growing as much as it can. Talk about that first, and let's go through some of your iterations of who you work with.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to realize that, or it's interesting to remember that only like 13 years ago when my co-founder and I started LifeWorks, that mentoring gay youth in the United States was, you know, larger organizations wouldn't do it because it was such a risk, because, you know, society was looking for evidence that they gay people only want to be with kids to have sex with them. So mentoring would be like some, you know, something lurid or something like, you know, abusive. And we really, because we wanted to start a mentoring program within a larger organization, kept being told no. We just decided to do it on our own. So really trying to scrape together the money to do a brand new nonprofit is tough, especially when you're in a place like Los Angeles where there's a lot of nonprofits, a lot of people competing for money. A lot of nonprofits come in from other places to raise money in Los Angeles, even if they're not based there. But we basically, you know, I'm very proud of the fact that we made LGBT youth mentoring safe, you know, because we proved by taking that so-called risk that mentoring is mentoring. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a gay adult, a gay kid, a straight, whatever. People need that, you know, people need older people in their lives that have more experience than them, helping them along and figuring it out, and especially LGBT youth because, you know, they grow up without role models in their home for the most part, and, you know, there's in the media there haven't been a lot of role models traditionally and so forth. So it was also an accident of timing because we started LifeWorks on the cusp of all of our civil rights, you know, movement moving forward so quickly. And now it still exists, you know, 13 years later at the Los Angeles LGBT Center. It happens to be the largest LGBT organization in the world. And it's flourishing. And so probably, 10,000 kids have gone through LifeWorks doors over the last 15 years.
That's great. And your background works so well with it. Talk about your education, because you work with psychology, or is it?
Yeah, I have a master's in clinical psych. So, and my concentration was in child and adolescent development. So I walked out of school and started an internship with the only LGBT foster care agency in the country at the time. And so I was working with gay kids and lesbians and transgender kids 16, 17 years ago. Well, actually, it's more than that, not 20 years ago. So, again, I got to learn about those kids from them before other people were really having conversations with our gay kids.
And then you went on, you raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for National AIDS Memorial. That's kind of exciting stuff. What was your goals going into that?
And actually, I'm just going to do one little correction. We're calling it a monument because AIDS is still present.
That's
that's the only reason.
We talked about that, I think, on the previous show when I...
That's okay. I don't expect everyone to remember. It's my job to crack that, right? So, yeah, we've raised the organization, which I've left now. Really, the fundraising is just about over for the monument itself. The fundraising is going to continue to do programming and so forth to fund that in the future. But we raised collectively as an organization over $4 million. It's a world-class art project created by a man named Daniel Tobin, who's an Australian guy, has done a lot of urban art for Shanghai and other cities like that, including Australian cities. And it's going to be in West Hollywood Park, in the heart of West Hollywood. It's an amazing site. It's in the design district of West Hollywood, so the Pacific Design Center, this beautiful buildings across the street. It's part of this park that's in the middle of a $100 million redesign, beautiful urban park that's going to feature this monument that can teach, new generations about what happened and really allow people to, to have a cathartic experience, the people that have gone through that horrible time and lost so many people. And it's just going to, it's going to be beautiful. It's not going to be something that's dark and dreary. It's going to be something that we can celebrate ourselves, because really, look at what the LGBT community did on its own, pretty much with key allies to take on the powers that be, and now we're on the cusp of being able to end HIV transmission. We can end HIV transmission. Mm-hmm. We just have to solve the problem of drugs being too expensive.
Right.
So yeah, so it's an exciting time in that way too. I feel like so fortunate in my life that I've sort of been very timely, with the jobs I've taken on.
Well, you've given everyone, so you start these great projects and you've handed it off in such great shape. That's got to feel pretty fulfilling.
Yeah.
And then another thing I love is you're my go-to Broadway person. Alexander's my old-time Hollywood. But uh-huh. I'm a Broadway person. No, you're guests. You're not old-time.
Broadway.
Yeah, old-time Broadway. But you go to Broadway, quite regularly. You see some of my favorite shows. Talk about what's been on your hit parade the last just year.
Yeah, well, this year, really, the biggest surprise was Mean Girls for me, because I really didn't think Mean Girls was going to be, everybody loves the movie. I thought it
you
was
live it.
Time for, yeah, right? Yeah, you bet.
Hashtag true story.
Everybody knows that movie loves that movie, and so it was set up to be disappointing. But then there's Tina Fey, right? And one of the most talented people we have. And the play's better. I mean, she made it better. She updated it. She kept all the things that you want from the movie. She kept those in the show. But then she updated it so it's relevant to today with the Me Too movement, with women becoming more empowered, women having this value now we need to be friends and supportive of each other rather than the traditional, relationships that we've seen with women, sort of undercutting each other and being mean to each other, which is what it's based on. But the music's great. And the gay male role in the show was really they made it much larger.
Yeah.
He's got two great show-stopping numbers, yeah. And a wonderful actor's in the role. So it just was a big surprise.
I think he got nominated, didn't he, for
yeah,
the Tony?
Yeah,
that was originally by Jonathan Bennett, who's now gone on such great things as a host and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And his Instagram is so hot.
And then, the other show that I saw that I really want to mention, because I don't think it gets enough notice, although it did get nominated for Best Revival, was Once on This Island. And such a great show. And the thing that I loved about it, a guy who happens to be a friend of mine that was on Glee, Alex Newell, he played can't remember the character's name, but he was a transgender character.
Right.
And now he's playing what was the traditional, like, wise woman on the island, you know, that everybody went to, and he's playing that role. Nobody says anything about, oh, there's a man playing this woman's part, you know, and he plays it as a woman. So, and it's not drag. It's just Alex is non-gender conforming, gender fluid. That's the better term. And so, you know, it just, he naturally fits into it, and it's fantastic. And his voice is that registered too. So,
which I love. You know, Louis Anderson is doing that on Baskets, where he's playing a woman, and it's not a big thing. There's no big song and dance. He's playing a woman,
That's a great example, right?
And he plays it so true into the character, and you know, we get in those controversy as to who plays who and who should play what roles. And to your point, you know, it's so nice to see that's positive casting that we should focus on.
Yeah,
not stunt casting.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, he was nominated for Best Featured Actor and for the Drama Desk Award, and you know, so here you have a perfect example of where society's come when it comes to gender issues, and that's going forward faster. So that's really great. It's great to be just a part of this community and seeing
that
happen.
Now that I know you know him, I'm going to be bugging you a lot. Who's the girl that played? I can't think I'm blanking on her name because she'd be a guest next. Who played Tina in Glee? Do you remember?
Asian character,
yeah.
Right?
She was on my show last time. I've been bugging her ever since, maybe about once a month.
Yeah,
she's going to be on my show next month. I don't know why. But she's been fantastic. But now that I have another connection, you're going to be on my monthly email.
And Alex is now, like, you know, his career is exploding. It's great to see. A lot of these people that, you know, were on Glee, but other people that are so talented and like trying to triple threat kind of people.
And Jenna Horowitz?
I think you're right.
Jenna Horowitz?
No. Yeah, Jenna Ushkowitz. Jenna Ushkowitz. Thank you, Jenna. I'm so sorry about that.
It's just great to see Alex break through. And actually, Amber Riley is about to be in a big movie, too. So, like, these people are starting, like, you know.
And she just came off a huge, was it Dreamgirls in London? Uh-huh. She was in London Dreamgirls and had some great reads.
And then Michelle is doing... She's the Kevin Heigl of... Come on, let's be honest.
You're being...
The hashtag theme of the show is Shades of True, boys and girls. Hashtag Shades of True.
We're working
at Summit. When you're following along. And then Nicholas Snow, thank you so much for being for the show. You are a Palm Springs resident here. Talk about how this all came about, and you said you were in Thailand, you've been all over... based out of Hollywood for a while. How did the Palm Springs move, and what do you think of being in the entertainment business here?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to simulcast your show. I know we talked about your desire to have video presence, so I'm happy I could be here today to do that.
I called Nicholas a couple of times about help, I don't do video, I need any advice you have, and he was so kind on the phone.
And it's great to be on the show with such an esteemed panel. I actually, you mentioned in the bio at the top of the show that I came out of the closet in the media in the 80s, and that happened at Arizona State University, where I was rebelling from my Republican family upbringing. Having grown up in a small Arizona town, I was in the Tempe area in a bigger city, and at that time my best friend had committed suicide, my great-grandmother had died, and we were learning about what would become known as HIV and AIDS, and I was a major in communication. And one of the things that I got clear and the biggest acknowledgement that I owe to people that lost their lives to HIV and AIDS was that it communicated to me the dramatic power of one's life force, one's truth, and one's willingness and commitment to expressing it. That no one is more powerful than they are when they are expressing their truth. So I just decided to throw caution to the wind, and I came out in a big and consistent way. And a big theme in my work is to inspire people to honor and express their life force in a way that makes a difference. And the primary catchphrase for my current work and the cornerstone of my work with Promo Homo TV is connecting the circuitry of humanity. Now, I've been back in Palm Springs for about an eight-year stretch, but what had me return to the desert after having lived here before, is that when living overseas in 2007, completely armed with the knowledge to protect myself, I had a rare slip in my safe for sex behavior, and I became HIV positive. Because I was living in a part of the world where there was great stigma and discrimination around this part of the world, I decided to go public with what had happened in a press conference at the Foreign Correspondents Club of Thailand, and I made it my commitment to give a name, a face, and a story to this issue in that part of the world. So for a period of time, I was one of the most visible, openly HIV-positive people in Asia. I developed a music video campaign to promote HIV testing and safer sex that's now subtitled in 21 languages. But I returned to Palm Springs because I needed to become a client of Desert AIDS Project.
Great organization.
Yes, they are a fantastic organization, and they're a consistent supporter of my work as a media activist. And so I came back to Palm Springs and ultimately became a client of Desert AIDS Project. Within about 8 months, had the opportunity to live in the Vista Sunrise apartment, which is their housing complex. And this is where our story has some similarity. It was the second year back from Thailand that I created a show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I knew about Blog Talk Radio because I had been invited to be a guest on several times because of my activism.
Right.
So I did that show for 4 years, had a collective audience of about 2 million people during that time. And about 2 years ago, combined with the White Party, Facebook enabled live video for the Android phone because I was behind the times and didn't have an iPhone. Had an Android phone. I was credentialed for the White Party, and I thought, well, let me just do video instead. And so I just wasn't one of those guys with the camera turning on the video. I actually always went online in the persona of a journalist doing actual reports, as I am trying to do. And within a few days, I had thousands of views. And I decided, well, actually more like 10,000 or more views in a very short period of time. A couple of months later, I was thinking about how when I was the Tinseltown Queer in L.A., people would refer to me as L.A.'s primo promo homo on the go-go. So I thought, oh, I'm going to brand all this as Promo Homo TV, because promohomo.tv can be a lifelong umbrella brand for everything that I do. So it's existed now for about 2.5 years in the Palm Springs market. But even though I'm based here, I program for a worldwide audience. And I'm now developing promohomo.tv as a network with multiple shows, which is why I ended up being in LA in July, because I resurrected Notes from Hollywood as a new show on Promohomo TV, which is where all those live broadcasts happened around Outfest. I'm rebranding my Palm Springs focus content to a show called Hot in PSP. I'm digitizing my historic archives of public access content into the program Tinseltown's Queer on the website.
Amazing.
I'm developing a show that will look at the world of 12-step recovery and spirituality, the way they intersect, or spiritual journeys that may not have to do with recovery. That show is called Higher Powered. And I have another show that's in development that I'm not spilling the beans yet.
You should borrow Alexander's sunglasses. You are too cool for school all of a sudden. Goodness.
Or if you need somebody for your first recovery episode. My intervention is going to be a musical. Just so you know, Pendleton's Poe's going to show up. It's going to be amazing.
And by the way, Alex says he's the host for Palm Springs Pride. Well, I guess I'm one of the other hosts for Palm Springs Pride. I don't have a capital T-H-C in front of my name. But on Saturday...
Sorry, can you put the shade down?
No, on Saturday, well, he's the primetime host and has been for years and well-deserved. But Saturday, we're kind of combining. We didn't know that. I knew a little bit about it. But Saturday during the main stage, the museum stage of Palm Springs Pride, which will be in the new downtown area, I'll be one of the afternoon hosts for this five-hour stint. And then that night, when Alex takes over as the host of the main stage, I will be backstage with a Promo Homo TV set, most likely in the green room, and then I will be interviewing people who are taking the stage that night. And the next morning, for the third year in a row, Promo Homo TV is the official broadcaster of the Palm Springs Pride Parade. And last year, surprisingly, I'm almost afraid to say this because I really don't know how I'm going to replicate it, but during the live broadcast on Facebook, before that episode ended, I had had over 5,000 live views.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Girl, I can't wait for the behind the scenes backstage. You know how it gets backstage.
I am so glad that I had Ron on yesterday instead of today. He'd be refereeing you guys. And then we have Craig Ramsey and Brandon Liberati doing the Trina Turk party the night before, so they'll be in the mix. So.
Oh, I'm also doing the pre-Pride pool party with them
at
Hotel Zozo.
Hotel Zozo.
We're doing an impromptu Andrew Christian swimwear fashion show. I will not be wearing the outfits, okay? Everybody calm down.
Are we going to be in a bow tie at the pool?
Oh, honey, tuxedos.
Very well.
He's going to be dressed as a bee.
Every time I have to wear that bee costume.
All right, well, this is a good time for a break. We have Christina with us in the studios live over in Northeast Ohio. Christina, why don't you go ahead and cue a song break up for us? Guys, we are talking with Michael Ferreira, Alexander Rodriguez, Fernando Rivera, and Nicholas Snow right here on Blog Talk Radio, the Love of Straight Show, live from beautiful downtown Palm Springs at the Indulge Resort.
Woo-woo!
Yeah.
And I will wrap my broadcast with that. I'll stick around, of course, but I want to thank all of you for being on the show.
All righty, we are back. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. I am sitting today in beautiful downtown Palm Springs with the lovely Nicholas Snow from Promo Homo TV. We have Fernando Rivera, actor and author extraordinaire, Alexander Rodriguez, who needs no introduction because he'll do his own for you, and Michael Ferreira, the fantastic guru of nonprofits and our go-to guy for Broadway. We're going to open it up and have some fun while we're here in Palm Springs, do some open questions. First, let's talk about Palm Springs in general. Nicholas kind of shared his reason for coming here, but what have you fallen in love with the city? What really kind of makes you stay after this time? 8 years now.
You don't find a bigger-hearted, philanthropic community here where philanthropy is one of people's primary activities. You would think that I'm referring to specifically the donation of money, but the ethic around volunteerism is very high, and also the people who give give generously from sometimes very little. So and even like brand new businesses that might be struggling are still going to be very generous in the way that they give to and support the community. I also appreciate the fact that around that philanthropy, there are people that come together to be of service who are on opposite ends of political spectrum.
Nice.
So you could have some of the most conservative and liberal people politically sharing a table at the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards benefiting Desert AIDS Project, for example.
Very nice.
I also just need to trumpet Desert AIDS Project again. Desert AIDS Project is one of the preeminent HIV/AIDS service organizations in the world, and the CEO, David Brinkman, was invited to the White House twice during the Obama administration, once as part of a World AIDS Day celebration, but the second time to share best practices around the defeat of AIDS. And earlier on the panel, we were talking about how the end of HIV and AIDS is on the horizon. Well, one of the huge projects that was championed not only by Desert AIDS Project, but by around 80 community organizations was the creation of the Get Tested Coachella Valley campaign. Because about 4 years ago when that launched, we were learning that U equals U, undetectable equals untransmittable. We were learning about PrEP and PEP and all of these ways of scientifically defeating the epidemic. So Get Tested Coachella Valley has now ended as a standalone project, and it is now one of the broader programs within DAP. But that's another thing that I just want to celebrate. And I'll add that I love that we are a tourist destination and that there are always people from all walks of life coming to this great place.
We're going to have a representative of the Desert AIDS Group on next Monday. And that's one of the things I knew this was a very strong LGBT community here in Palm Springs, but when I was doing my research and looking for people to talk to here, there's a gay rodeo association, there's gay men's chorus, there's an amazing AIDS group, there's so many different diverse things. We have all the council
community
people.
The bear community is very big out here, too.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, the bear. He said the bear community. Yeah, the bears are huge. Well,
what?
I mean,
thank you very much.
Bears are very popular.
Yes, have you heard what a salmon is?
What?
So a salmon is part of the bear community. It's a hairless, because the bears go after the smooth salmon and they claw at it. So a salmon is the young boy without hair that's into bears. New.
I have been a salmon fisherman. I thought I hated it. Fernando, have you been to Palm Springs much, or what's your Palm Springs experience? What do you like to do
tool
when
shed.
You come here?
What?
Tool shed.
Home Depot? I honestly don't come to Palm Springs very often. I don't get invited out here much. And I mean, I don't, you know. I did have a really... I keep to myself in a cave with my computer. My first time coming to Palm Springs was really fun, actually. It was with two of my friends. One of them is a compulsive gambler. So, you know, we had to placate him and go about to the casinos here. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun because it was off-season, and so we had the run-of-the-mill of the hotel, and we did the spa, and it was a lot of just fun little, you know, relaxing things that you can do and not have to leave the hotel room or the hotel area during the day when it's really hot. And then at night, you know, there was a lot of a very welcoming community, and it was always very, you know, very playful. Like, one of my friends was just – you know, there was an underwear contest, and he was like, oh, guys, you know, don't let me do it. And we're just like, bitch, we know you want to do it. So we just kept quiet, and then, you know, it slowly evolved to, okay, guys, like, I can't do this alone. Someone has to do it with me. And then a few more drinks, and he was like, fuck it, I'm going. And he just, like, went off.
Nice.
And, you know, it was, like I said, it was all a lot of really good fun. So the few times I've been, I've had, you know, a blast, but I don't come too often. But it's nice to hear that there's such a, you know, a philanthropic community out here, because you definitely get that feeling even when you're just passing through.
And Nicholas, you and Alexander, I didn't know about Alexander's history with the city, but talk about one of the things I love is the no traffic in off season. Is there even traffic in the quote unquote season? Because I went one day to Knott's Berry Farm. I couldn't handle the traffic. I came back home. Didn't want to go to LA. It's the first trip I haven't gone to LA. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not dealing with it. What is it like here? It's been beautiful getting around from one end of the city to the other in 7 minutes.
Well, this time of year, it's a sleepy town in August, relatively speaking. It's not sleepy here in August compared to 10 years ago. But in the season, those of us that are here year-round definitely notice that for our standards, there's lots and lots of traffic, and it takes a lot longer to get around. But still, compared to most of Southern California, the traffic is nothing.
What have you seen changes you've been coming here for?
I'll be honest, I've been coming to Palm Springs from third grade all the way through college. I spent 3 months on my summer here. And in the old days, it would literally, all of the stores would be boarded up. Everything would shut down. There'd be a few restaurants open, but the malls would literally shut down. It was that closed off in the summer. And then the businesses would reopen in the winter and all that. But things have totally changed. It's become a tourist place. It's become a place for families. And so even though we are in this heat, there's still activity, and the stores are still open, and tourism is doing really well. Property values are doing really well. Palm Springs is, like, the place to go.
Well, in you mentioned some of my advertisers have worked for you with you on this trip,
mm-hmm.
the Big Gay Road Trip. So I work with Lulu and Aqua California Bistro, but I work at 849 Restaurant and Lounge, just my fun side day job. I've worked there since they opened 3 years ago, and it's a large restaurant that's packed in season, but we have stayed consistently busy during the summers, especially on weekend nights, but we've had surprising traffic for our brunches. And a lot of the restaurants, by the way, in town will debut a fantastic menu during Greater Palm Springs Restaurant Week, and then what will happen is they'll convert those menus to summer menus. So like all summer long at 849, not on Fridays and Saturdays, we have three courses for $29. Spencer's does a similar menu. Almost all the restaurants are doing these fantastic menus for locals and for summer visitors.
I got to tell you, for 849, we've been having our little lunch beforehand, and usually I bring the leftovers, the happy hour here at the resort. We left over here. 849 came and they brought lobster rolls, and I swear it looks like cake.
We didn't get lobster rolls?
Lobster rolls. There was a whole platter of them, and I had two left to bring to happy hour. Then they brought this fresh Aggie mix with the rice. I don't know what
that was. A poke bowl.
The poke bowl. Right. That was all gone, but maybe two spoonfuls. I mean, they were devouring.
I have to say, also, they do a street fair. Is it on Tuesdays?
Every Thursday night, year-round, without fail. It does start an hour later in the hot months, but they close down blocks of Palm Canyon Drive, basically for people that know the landmarks, from the Palm Springs Hyatt all the way down to Baristo. That entire main street and some of the side streets are booths for the street fair. And one of the primary requirements to be in the street fair is that it has to have a strong local connection.
Okay, being the fat boy that I am on my wanders through there, what's the ice cream parlor with the guy with the beret, but it's all Hawaiian on the inside? Like Le Perret?
That's my hotel room, room 38.
We went there the other day, and they had this fantastic pineapple gelato with a key lime ice. Yeah, it was the best invention since last
I'm sorry time. I don't know the name of it.
I can't remember it. I feel bad I'm not promoting it.
It's called the Play of the Place.
No. It's some Le Play something. It's a French name with a guy with the brain on, but it's all Hawaiian looking. Next to the place where you scrub your hands up, they scrub your hands in the bowl. I don't know. It's kind of like.
Thanks, Foley.
That's called All World.
Am I being a frequent visitor at Palm Springs, or when you come, what do you like to do?
Most of the time, what I really like about Palm Springs is the heat feels therapeutic to me. So, So I like to come down and really relax and, you know, lie by a pool and, you know, and just spend the time in the hotel. And, yeah,
if you have central air,
yes,
okay, we can switch apartments. The heat can be.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun to go out here. I think it's a different vibe, you know, way different vibe from L.A., so it's nice to get, you know, to get out of the city and kind
it's
of
so
be
close.
Relaxed and have people be a little bit more open. You know, because in L.A., people tend to, like, go with their group of friends to a place, and it's hard to sort of, like, mix with other groups of friends. And here it just seems like people are...
Yeah, you've
know,
been mixing with a lot of different people, haven't you?
One of the things that I also really respect and appreciate, about the desert is the deep historic indigenous culture, and I frankly personally love it that the tribes are in charge of what happens. I totally believe in the sovereign nations, and I love it that they are thriving here in the desert and that we do work harmoniously with the tribes. But when I see people that have been oppressed in the past thrive and rise and triumph, I love it.
That's fantastic. Now, someone told me the other day, too, because you see a lot of patchwork empty spaces, and that's Indian land there, and you have to, they either have to develop it or you have to do something. Is that true?
Well, a lot of the undeveloped land is tribal land, and there are a lot of that land is specifically being developed. In downtown Palm Springs, there's going to be like multiple blocks that will be redeveloped. They're in process now. So the Agua Caliente Cultural Center is fully in development right now. There is going to be a high-rise hotel casino that's similar in height, I understand, to the Agua Caliente Casino down by the freeway.
Your mom will be happy for that.
So there's a massive amount of redevelopment happening in that area, but also many high-end housing developments are going in. Projects that have been stalled are no longer stalled. And then we have the downtown renaissance that has been executed quite successfully. And I think it's important to say, to remind people that Palm Springs Pride is one of the few 100% free Pride festivals that exist.
Yeah, you're talking about yesterday, it's so important.
Yes.
It's some of the best MCs you've ever seen.
And yes, of course. So, Ron DeHart, by the way.
People could make Nicholas speechless, but I don't know.
Isn't Ron DeHart, and I thought I was a promo almost. Isn't Ron DeHart fantastic, though?
Oh, he's so fun. He's the epitome of pride. He's like, yes, gay pride, whatever, but he's so low key. He's so.
It's great to have on your show.
He's fantastic. And it's pspride.org.
It's an amazing organization. Let's go ahead. I try to keep away from politics. I go a little more than Alexander does the show, but because it's such breaking news right now during the show, over here, everyone knows I'm a political junkie. Standing on my soapbox, my political show will be starting up next month again, so I can rant and rave. Love the Straight Show. It's entertaining, it's humorous, PG-13. Starting next month, we bring Standing on My Soapbox, which is mother, son of a gun, what's going on in politics right now. So, yeah, big breaking news, and Michael Ferreira is my go-to man on the phone today. We have a lot of breaking news happening in the Manafort trial, happening with the president's lawyer, Michael Cohen. Talk a little bit about what you've seen, Mike, and then we'll all talk about it.
Just before we started the show today, they announced on television that Paul Manafort was found guilty of 18 counts. And so that's quite significant. And they were waiting for Michael Cohen to come into court, and he's supposedly going to do a plea deal where he'll get jail time for campaign fraud. So, and that includes that involves the president. So it looks like things are getting closer.
CNN is reporting officially that Paul Manafort is found guilty on 8 counts. And the lead paragraph attributed to CNN says, President Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, has been found guilty on 8 counts of financial crimes, a major victory for special counsel Robert Mueller, but jurors were unable to reach a verdict on 10 charges, and Judge T.S. Ellis declared a mistrial on those counts, and that's from CNN.
Which means they can be retried, which is a good thing, too, Well, the reason I'm asking is we talked a little bit on the show the other day. I want to get your opinion on it. Just the way this administration, we talk about moving forward and moving backward and pomp and rights and pride and things like that. I saw in the advertisement out of L.A., Wesley Woods, been a good friend in your show, been on my show, was attacked in West Hollywood.
He was attacked by
Geiger was had a problem in West Hollywood. Miss Cracker was in Dublin, Ireland, and got kind of mugged over there while she was in drag and everything. It seems the culture is just changing so much in such a short time in these 2 years. Is there safe bastions of LGBT? Is Palm Springs a safe bastion that we think it is? Is West Hollywood still a safe bastion? And what do we need to do to preserve this? I think we can't. We have to be a little politically active now because I think we're starting to lose some of those rights we've afforded.
You know, here's the thing, is like it takes so slow for us to move forward, but it's so quick to bring us back. We've already gone back with LGBT rights in the workplace, adopting children. Even West Hollywood is not safe anymore because we're now in this environment. It's like gays are bad again. It took us so long to get here. Protests do not work. And I'm the first one. I don't get political, but protests just don't work. I'm sorry. It's great to see everybody unite with their signs and all that, but it does not work. The people that are protesting are not voting, and that is the biggest issue right now.
I have to strongly disagree with respect.
Bring it, girl.
Okay. So we have the Affordable Care Act today because of the resistance, the persistence, and protest that burst out for months and months and months. One of the reactions to Donald Trump has been the resistance, and there are huge electoral victories that can be tied to those protests. There are many people that are engaged in the political process as candidates or voters that have never been engaged before. I have to defer to you, though, to acknowledge that a lot of people who simply protest are not exercising their most powerful tool, which is to vote. So protests by themselves do not work. But it isn't just the LGBT community that's under attack. What we have had going on now for several years is we have had the people at the highest levels of our country who are supposed to be setting examples use language like it's okay to call Mexicans murderers and rapists. It's okay to malign women. It's okay to grab pussies. It's okay to just be as morally reprehensible as you want to be. So we've had the leadership of our country setting these examples, and we have a lot of other elected leaders that you would expect to speak out against it that are condoning it with their silence. And we have basically white supremacists in many ways running our government, which creates this really terrible context of hate.
And I think on that point that what's really important for people to remember is our whole culture is not changing. What's changing is that 28% or whatever that number is of the country that, you know, 3 years ago and before, there was a lid on all of this stuff. You know, like that some people complain that Democrats are too PC or whatever, but the thing is that, you know, the culture was saying this is not appropriate. And then Trump comes in and his people come in and this, they took the lid off of what was there. It doesn't go away. I mean, like, because we got marriage legalized doesn't mean that people, anti-gay people went away.
That's a really good point.
It just went out of, you know, it just wasn't acceptable. And now that's been unleashed. And I think that's really sad. And I think it'll go back again. But I think you made a good point. I actually, in February of last year, right after the election, myself and Abby Lands, who was a former mayor of West Hollywood, started a resistance group called Roar. And it's been such an inspiring personal experience because we've been going out and canvassing. We've been, instead of yelling at our televisions, we've been activating people on a monthly basis. And that's what you need to do. And we've marched in the protests, and what the protests do, what the marches do, is it shows you how many people around you feel the same way you do. And there's such energy. I've never seen such energy, except for really the most energetic LGBT protests, because, you know, we're fighting for our civil rights, which should be the most important thing on every American's mind and heart all the time. Other than those, the Women's March, all the opportunities to get together with fellow Americans and just shout out, you know, we will not allow this to go much further. And I think that's going to be successful. I think in the end, I mean, I tend to be a very optimistic, idealistic person anyway, but I think in the end, the beauty is that we're seeing our institutions in this country tested like they've never been tested before in our history. And they're holding up. I mean, look at the people around the president right now that are being held accountable. They're going to jail. They're being indicted. And now we need to follow through, and we need to get off our asses, and we need to get into the voting booths in November, and we need to get the checks and balances back so that those institutions can be protected and the damage can be, you know, limited.
Right. Certainly, back to Palm Springs Pride, that is the theme in the Grand Marshal this year is youth empowerment.
I love that. They're not picking a celebrity this year to bring this back to the people,
to the youth, because of things that are happening in Parkland, things like this. All these kids are really taking the lead. And I agree. I see very much both sides, because last year, 2016 now, we opened our house up to phone bank for Hillary. And the thing that's frustrating, you see, I think the protesting brings the awareness for it. But the people that are doing the protests, and you say, need to do stuff, because I have these super active activists for Hillary arranging all these phone banks, everything, and the guy that was running is great. But they gave us a phone list to call of 800 people, and maybe 76 to 150 were valid numbers. In Ohio, swing state, it's important. The lists are not kept up. My people are the people who go out and register the voters and go out and say, protest good, it brings the awareness to it. Like that, I think we need the on-the-ground activists to go out there and do the petition, because I was mortified how bad Ohio's ground game was.
Well, there's also very overt voter suppression going on and all sorts of things. So we have so many fights on so many levels. I'd like to share a tweet from a friend of mine. His name is Ryan Knight. He is at Proud Resister on social platforms. He tweeted something that has had 13,000 likes, 5,000 retweets. He says, when a political party takes over all three branches of government and starts saying things like truth isn't truth, it means we're already living in George Orwell's novel, 1984. And to your point, and if we don't get out and vote, then we may end up in Margaret Atwood's novel, The Handmaid's Tale.
I was right about to say, we're more along the lines of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, and there was, speaking of voter suppression, there was something in the news the other day. There's a, I don't remember, Georgia, Tennessee, one of our lovely southern states. They have one county that they're closing 7 of the 9 precincts, and it's the most African-American county there happens to be, just trying to stop people from voting, and it's just a horrible thing.
And we really, I mean, one thing that drives me crazy is people saying, oh, the political parties are exactly the same. Well, no, they absolutely are not. There's one political party that actively, every day, works in the interests of wealthy people and against the interests of most of their voters. They are openly, you know, it's okay to be a Republican and be racist and be all the ifs and be homophobic, and then they're given permission to do it. They're actively involved as a party in being suppressing the votes, as you said, but also gerrymandering districts, which far worse than Democrats do. And we need to point that out and say, and it's a party that's shrinking, which is actually
the trouble
really,
is they're so good at the Democrats
thing.
Suck in getting the that we won't play derby pool. And
yeah, but you know, that's a narrative too that I think that we as if we're Democrats or we're progressives, we need to fight that narrative too, because what Democrats are good at is running government. And the Democrats have to say it again. We suck at doing bad things. That's what we suck at. We suck at marketing to make people believe that we're working for them when we're not. We know how to pass good policy. We know how we're the geek squad of government. And now we have another political party that all it does is talk about how much they hate government and government should go away and everybody's a crook, and because that works in their best interest. And I think back to the I didn't know that youth the youth empowerment was going to be such a strong part of Palm Springs Pride this year. You know, every major civil rights movement in the history of the world has been led by high school and college students. Every successful one. It starts with the high school and college students. That's how Martin Luther King was successful. You know, it's how all those movements have happened. And to see these Parkland kids stepping up, and to see us recognize the fact that we need to activate the youth, that's really positive. That's going to do it.
One of the most inspiring, moving events that I have attended most recently, but compared to the events I've attended throughout my decades of history in this movement, is the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast that happens here in Palm Springs. It started as a smaller event, but now it takes place in the Palm Springs Convention Center. It brings out about 1,200 people. The GSA students from throughout the Coachella Valley are invited. They are hosted. Generally, like around 250 students are there. They have their own private meeting before the breakfast with the activists that are being acknowledged. So this year they had a private one-on-one session with Cleve Jones. One year it was Dolores Huerta, and the heads of the GSAs at the high schools are all there, and then they give an award to one of them. And it's just an extraordinary, extraordinary event. Everybody cries every year, and it's all focused and built around empowering our youth.
It's great. Let's tiptoe from politics into the maybe politically incorrect. Alexander Shoshai, I'll see if they'll help me out with this or not. We're talking about Scarlett Johansson lately and Disney's Jungle Book. You have a segment on your show that would be perfect for this segment. Talk to me, Alexander.
So every week we open the show by dropping the bomb, right? And so we talk about hot topics, what's happening, and we have, you know, it's the three hosts. We have such different opinions. So the biggest hot topic, of course, is does gay and trans have to play gay and trans? And like you said, Scarlett Johansson was going to be in Rub and Tug, which is a story of a transgender mafia boss, female to male, and she was going to play him at the latter part of his career, whatever. So much hate that she was playing trans. And she addressed, she's like, I'm an actress. That's what I do is act. So she dropped out of the film, and now the film's not being made. So congratulations. We've shown A-list Hollywood that we are not inclusive. We're exclusive. We lost the opportunity to tell a transgender story because we're so hooked up on casting. I believe, and so this is what we do on the show, is like one of us
will
hit it.
Yeah,
we're
over here the counter, guys.
Yeah.
We're over the counter.
I agree. Trans should be given opportunity. Gay people should be given opportunity. But it's called acting. It's Hollywood. The best actor should be cast. And if you're an investor in a film, you're going to invest in a film that has some star power, because if Scarlett Johansson was in that film, it would be up for the Oscars, which means all of mainstream would have known about the film and seen the film. Now, nobody's going to see it because we're too hooked up on labels right now. We are so diversified in our own community, we're fighting this social and political climate. We're forgetting to unify ourselves. And it upsets me so much. So Jungle Cruise, Disney cast a straight white male as this gay character who's so over the top. And so the gay community is like, oh my God, that's not what gay is. The same people that are upset about that list Birdcage as their favorite film.
Fernando
was jumping out of the seat first. We'll go to Fernando. Well, for one, Birdcage was made in a totally different era when it was acceptable or not acceptable to be gay in Hollywood.
Fernando, what time? The people are saying, I love Birdcage. It's such a great film. Rob Lane is so funny.
The gay son not accept his parents. So that's a horribly offensive film. So I'm Birdcage.
But that's how the character evolves and grows.
But it's the original story. They changed.
Oh, I've never seen the original.
The
okay.
Birdcage in the movie.
Because I know it's made off the play, right?
We're seeing Robin Williams, white actor, being so over the top.
But that was the 90s.
Nicholas, jump on the soapbox.
Let's return to the trans casting issue. So one, I can't attribute this quote to its original source, but it's used a lot. And for the privileged class, equality feels like oppression. So that's just one of the things I want to put out there. Now, I do think that it is important that if you're casting a role, that the acting is paramount. But in this day and age, I think that in casting this role that was given to Scarlett Johansson, because of her star power, in this day and age, I think it's completely legitimate to open up the casting process to as many trans people as possible, and to do your best to cast from that perspective. And I also want to point to another groundbreaking program on
Fox.
It's called Pose, which is...
bad acting. Sorry.
Which is filled with extraordinary stories. And maybe our friend Alex doesn't revel in the acting, but when you look at the significant value of art and its ability to change the world, I would take the real-life transgender people that have been given that opportunity to grow and express as artists over someone that was not trans that might be a better actor. Now, I would agree that some of the acting on the show isn't very strong.
Thank you for acknowledging that. The community is so afraid to say the acting is not the best.
I would agree that some of the acting on Pose isn't very strong, but I also think that it works because these people in their lives have to be portraying, they have to invent themselves as characters. So there's something that can work about the less strong acting, but I will have to say that I think that some of the acting in that show is as good as you're going to find anywhere, and that acting is being done by trans actors.
Can I just go a fine line on Pose? I'll let you jump in, Alexander, one second. But Pose 2, you have to put a little bit of it on the writing, because I was really slow entry into Pose. First 3 or 4 episodes didn't have me, so bad acting or bad writing, what was it? When it got to the really good part of the last couple episodes, was good acting, good writing, everything is boom, boom, boom. So was it bad acting or was it bad writing in the beginning? But counterpoint, go ahead.
So, Nicholas, so Scarlett Johansson's out. Give me 3 trans A-list actors that you would fill that role.
I don't think you need an A-list actor.
Investors are not going to come. The distributors are not going to come. Nobody's going to see the film. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
It's worthy of being made, and we'll find its money.
It's canceled.
What's the ethnicity of the character? I'm curious. I'm
white.
She's white. Okay.
Yeah.
I actually don't think that you guys are sort of. I think I could bring some this together a little
bring
bit.
Bring
this is what, Michael. One other thing, and then.
Sure.
Okay. So you're saying, oh, give them a chance. Do you want your surgeon who's going to do your brain surgery? If they're not the best at their job, oh, give them a chance. Okay, good.
So I think the issue.
It's the job.
The issue that's going on here is that, you know, the people that are screaming about Scarlett Johansson getting cast in that role are screaming because there's not a lot of opportunities out there for trans and LGBT actors or LGB actors. So you have a show like Pose that doesn't need to garner as big an audience to be successful and beyond. Now you have a platform for those folks to act, just like Transparent is a great vehicle for people to act. I sort of agree. I mean, being somebody who, you know.
You can see the other side, too, because you're a good friend of Scott Turner Scopeland. He's a good actor and everything, and he does
so
that.
He just got cast playing a romantic lead. Has nothing to do with being trans. He's playing the role.
And that's
without.
And that's another part of that point is that why do we wish to see, why are we fighting for transgender actors to play transgender parts? Transgender actors should be playing all parts. Like they should be, the auditioning and casting should be open up so that the opportunities are broad, not so that they can just be in this one place. And I do agree with Alexander the fact that I wanted to see that movie get made. And that movie, a movie in this day and age especially that can't open on the first weekend is dead. And so nobody's going to see it. It's not going to be important.
It's all about the money,
right?
I mean, it's all about the money.
So I'm actually not arguing against your point. I think in a perfect world, There's space for all independent films to get seen, but it's just not that perfect world. It's a world that really, if movies don't open on the first weekend, then they don't get any of the ancillary showings either. They don't wind up in hotels and on airplanes and on the cable channels.
The Academy Awards.
They
should be given the audition opportunity, and that's what we should be focusing on. Not the actual casting, but the audition opportunity. And if they audition and they're not the best, then they're not the best.
Well, I
and
think that's part of the controversy, that this went direct to casting a big star, and if there was no audition process,
it's money.
That examined the broader community. And so she didn't have to quit. She could have kept. She could have stayed in
we
the role.
We eviscerated her because she was taking that role. She has treated the LGBT community with such love in her whole career, and we eviscerated her. We attacked her for taking the role that she was hired to do.
I did not attack her, and I don't think that anybody that attacked her personally was coming from the right place.
So of course she bowed out.
I do, however, agree with the protest against that casting in a way that was not open to other people. And I do understand the value of attaching a star to a project for commercial reasons to get it made. I completely understand that across the board. However, I think that if a story is profound enough and the filmmakers are committed enough, they're going to make their project, period.
That's so optimistic. If you were a producer, you would not think that.
I do produce things at different times, and I do think that now. And if I change my mind in the future, I'll let you know.
What about Crazy Rich Asians? That was a movie
that's another controversy.
But that was a movie that had zero star power because there were quote unquote no famous Asian actors.
Michelle Yeoh was in it.
Forever.
She's a huge star.
But that's not what everything's been reported. There's no like bankable Asian actors. They were gonna cast Constance Wu as a white girl. Because that would make it more like, oh, this is more America because we have somebody bankable that we can cast in that role. And they turned down studios. They turned down producers until, you know, what's the director's name?
What you're saying.
Let's finish on the positive. We do have three.
I just have one joke.
Entertainment professional.
The joke is that Scarlett Johansson is going to play Aretha Franklin in her biopic.
I'll give you that. let's finish on a high note, though, because we have now, like I said, the first LGBT show on Latin TV.
We have
an actor that doesn't seem to matter your orientation. I'm sure I'd like to know what your interpretation even matters if you even talk about it going into audition. And we have someone that's trailblazed it and has been able to create your own platform out of it. So what do you think the state of LGBT in general entertainment is right now? Are we seeing the progress we'd like to see?
You know, it's funny that entertainment is now taking a strong voice, such as Will and Grace is coming back, and there's so many LGBT characters, and we talk about this on Glitter Bomb. In Latin telenovelas, we know telenovelas are machismo, 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 but we're seeing LGBT characters in that. Entertainment is becoming such a voice for LGBT against this social and political climate right now, which is great. But entertainment has always spoken against what's happening from Cradle Rock when that, you know, came out. So I'm really proud of what we're doing, whether it be a flamboyant character, whether it be a straight person playing gay, we're now having a voice and that we're now being included in stories.
And how does it even go into your acting influence? I mean, you don't seek out gay parts, you don't seek out straight parts, you just go out for an acting part.
I mean, I just make myself available. I would love to play, like, you know, a mainstream, you know, gay part. And I've actually, my pilot season consisted of a majority of gay roles because I went in for Will and Grace is the character up there right now who plays Jack's fiance, right? And I was one of the top three people that was in front of execs that was auditioning for that role.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Brian Jordan Alvarez, that's who got it. You know, and Brian, myself, and Ryan were three people who went up and were up for that role. And it was, you know, it was very exciting to audition for the character. And at first, we got the side. It was a same-day audition, and we had, like, a very heightened character. And the execs were telling us, okay, bring it down, like, you know, make it more grounded, whatever. And because of that, with, you know, the casting director, I was brought in on some of her other projects, all as gay characters, which I loved and I was very happy for, but they were a very heightened, you know, flamboyant at least at the audition, it seemed like a very like heightened TV type of gay personality, which is really, really fun. But for me, when I try to do that, I feel like I'm putting on airs. No, not putting on airs, but like beefing it up too much.
He's
and
not
that
flamboyant.
That
in fact, when he was
very
on the radio show, so many viewers were like, is he gay? Is he straight? Like, I got so many emails because you're not the gay.
And that made me very uncomfortable in the sense that it's like, well, I feel like I'm doing the community a disservice putting on a character, because I have friends all over the spectrum and we all have an amazing time, but we're not the same, you know, out and about personality. So I really just go up to a role and it's like, this is kind of who I am. I have a very, you know, fun, flamboyant side. I have a quiet side.
Where's the fun part?
Well, you...
We have gone out to West Hollywood and here's them. Hey, what up? And I'm like, hi, girl!
You're operating on, like, a level 11.
Miss Flamboyancy is
all
like,
the way.
With cranberry. That's his
name. Yeah, but talk about that, because you're live TV a lot. Right?
Yeah.
We plan our people so they kind of know what they're getting into. You talk to people of all levels. Talk about how you feel LGBTs being accepted in live TV especially.
Well, let me just back up a little bit. When I mentioned how I was influenced in the 80s by the death of people that I loved, I learned from that the importance of expressing truth into darkness. One of the lessons I got out of ACT UP is silence does equal death and action does equal life. A key message of my public access TV show for 7 years in the 90s was express the truth of your life to the people whom you influence. And one of the key points I would make all the time, and this was before Ellen came out and before Rosie came out, I would say, I respect everybody's right to come out if, when, and how they choose. But the reality is, if someone with this sort of following comes out of the closet, their career might dry up and it might change, but they will have put the expression of their truth and the value of that at the top. And out of that, conversations will exist, at least internally, among millions and millions and millions of people. And the process of individuals expressing their truth is fundamentally what brings about change. So I've been pursuing entertainment-related professions for a long time, including acting. But I made it a point that I was going to be out about everything at all times consistently, regardless of the personal cost and sacrifice. So while some people are looking for causes to support their career, I have always tried to build careers around my cause. So fundamentally, I feel like I have a joyful, important life that makes a difference, and my goal is to inspire that in others. But fundamentally, regardless of our sexual orientation or backgrounds or differences, I like people to connect to the importance of who they are, where they are in the world, to give themselves validity to accept and pursue and honor their own dreams despite the forces around them that might be opposed to them.
That is a great note to end on, my friend. Thank you for sharing that. Nicholas, where can they find you on your social media, please?
At PromoHomoTV on Twitter and Instagram, and PromoHomo.tv is the website. Search Facebook in the pages for Nicholas Snow. Look for the blue check mark, which means that I'm verified.
Fernando Rivera, where can they find you on social? Where can they find this book they have to read?
Yes, at Rivera Fernando C on Instagram and Twitter. And for the book, right now, it is because I'm on the radio show with Scott and with Left and Straight Radio. The book is for free on Amazon right now for today and tomorrow. So you can download it for free on your Kindle. It's called The After Living. And for those who may not be familiar, it's based on the idea that Jesus Christ was the first vampire. So if you love vampire fiction and you have your hold up with religion, you'll love it. If you're a very religious person and you think this is blasphemy, you'll love it, believe me. And if you have no opinion and you just like a wonderful fictitious read, I guarantee there's something in there for you. And again,
I'm going to tweet that out tonight where they can get that free listing,
yeah.
And then I'm going to pick up a copy from you that we're going to give out to a lucky listener. So thank you.
Awesome.
And I have to say, I read it, and I was raised Catholic. He does it so respectfully and with some education behind it and some facts behind it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jose Rodriguez, where can they find you, my friend?
Follow On The Rocks. OnTheRocksRadioShow.com has all the links to iHeartRadio, to the YouTube. You can see the show as well as listen to the show. And then personally, Alexander is on air because I am on air. Mm-hmm. And then watch me September 20th on Glitterbomb nationwide in 13 million homes. Pay your cable bill because I will be there.
What channel?
Check your local listings. I don't know
what
channel.
LATV.
LATV.
And I'm out on the show. What's your OnlyFans account?
And Michael Ferrer, in between, you've left this fantastic job. What's your dream job, and where do they find you on social media in case I have all these hiring agents out there today?
Actually, I think I'm going to start doing special events because that's the part of the job that I really enjoy. So I might be, you know, I've got a job in the works coming up. But I'd actually tell people go to Roar Resistance. Roar Resistance on Facebook.
Great organization.
And we are a strong group of activists trying to make our difference in some of these swing districts around Los Angeles. And Palm Springs has some swing districts locally too that we need to turn blue. And, you know, so I think if people want to go on there, there's lots of education, there's lots of opportunities to be active, and you can do a phone bank by yourself in your home if you want to.
Technology. Amazing.
Scott, I just have to give it back to you. Congratulations on the show.
Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. This has been a great trip. Again, a big shout out to John and Sandy and Raymond for making me and my guests feel so welcome. We have one more week of shows, guys. Next Monday and Tuesday, we'll be live from the Indulge Resort here in Palm Springs, 2 to 4 p.m. local time, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, by my friends back east. Thanks for being part of it. Christina, I appreciate you back there in Ohio. Thanks, and find us a nice little musical interlude to play out to. Guys, we'll be back next week. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. Bye-bye.